Well, the end of the year brings holidays to celebrate and colder weather as well. And there's nothing quite like the smell of bread or pastries baking in the oven to make us feel warmer inside and out. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Talking now about baking and baking breads with Paul Novak. Comes by every so often to visit with us. He's a talented instructor. Great ideas for holiday baked goods for everyone from the total novice to the professional baker. And there may be baking, there are baked goods that are part of your cultural heritage. Love to hear about that. Maybe have some questions about baking. We'd love to hear them. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to see some photos of your holiday baked creations as well. Paul, and I wish you could be with me in the studio, with me and with Paul, because Paul has baked something again, and it smells just wonderful. Paul, welcome, by the way.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
And you've baked today.
Well, again, Yulakaka, and part of the smell is cardamom, or cardamom, however you want to say it.
It is wonderful. So that's what you've been baking this week? What else have you been?
Oh, I did a MATC class. I did some healthy breads. Uh-huh. I have a French bread class coming up at MATC in January. So, but I make my own bread every week for my own use.
Well, you do every week?
Every week, yes.
You brought a Yulakaka then, and what's the history and tradition behind it?
Yule Christmas, so it's a rich white bread. It's really not that different than challah bread, but it's got the cardamom in it. And so it's just a celebration of sugar and butter and eggs and milk. And
I can't wait to dig in. I can tell you that right now. Well, if someone is...
Here's your bribe, Larry.
Oh, there we go. I've got a piece right now in front of me, but I can't eat it until I ask a question here. If somebody gets started in baking and wants to make something to share for the holidays, what are some foolproof recipes?
If you'd want a rich bread, the Yulakaka or any other bread like that is an easy thing to do because it's essentially all white flour. If you want to make rolls for various events, mm-hmm. A lighter dough and then made into rolls is a fairly easy way to go also. I know pretzel rolls are a big deal nowadays. That's a fair amount of work, though.
Are they a lot of work? I mean, it's what accounts? I mean, cupcakes, too. Suddenly, cupcakes, well, not suddenly, but I mean, they're very popular right now.
Right. A lot of stores or shops just make cupcakes. And essentially any cake that's not too heavy could be made into a cupcake. Your really dense chocolate cake is not going to necessarily translate into a cupcake.
What accounts for trends like that, the pretzel rolls or the cupcakes?
I guess part of it would just be novelty, trying to do something new. So all of a sudden, I don't know where pretzel rolls came from, but pretzels have been around for a long time. And, of course, people should realize they're two different styles. The one that's more a quick bread, you know, mm-hmm. the crunchy kind, or the other ones that are boiled and then baked, similar to bagels, that are a lot more doughy, bigger. You know, that's the style that goes into a pretzel roll.
And you see them now, hamburgers with pretzel rolls? And
sure. You're going to have to make a fairly light dough so that the insides are not thick. I mean, because some pretzels, hot pretzels, are going to be fairly chewy. So it's probably a little adaptation of the recipe to make them into rolls.
Paul Novak, our guest baking instructor and the author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More, our guest today. Looking forward to hearing your questions or comments or your baking stories. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. My wife is a good baker. She went to She started at Madison Area Technical College. She went to the chef pro school there.
Okay, yes.
And she was a pastry chef at the Concourse in Madison for quite a while. And that's how she put her way through the University of Wisconsin as a baker.
And people don't always realize that pastry chefs can be different than bread bakers. Mm-hmm. Some people do both.
Yep.
Some people do. So if you ask me to make a puff pastry, I'm going to run away from that.
Well, she has been wanting to do bagels. She's never made bagels.
Well, bagels would be essentially a yeast dough, but you then boil it. And mm-hmm. one of the secrets is to put malt syrup into the water.
Okay.
And then after you bake them, after you boil them, then you bake them.
Okay.
And so pretzels would be boiling with baking soda in the water and boiling them in that and then baking them. So they're really quite analogous. Now, I should tell you, bialys, which are a little more Polish thing,
yeah.
are just baked.
Oh.
So they're not the same as a bagel, but they look like it. And
do they taste close. Like it?
No, not really, because they're going to not have been boiled and then baked. So...
Are there new baking tools out there that we should know about?
One place I'd like to mention usually is King Arthur Flour, because they sell not only good flours, and they're starting to get into the gluten-free stuff also, but they sell utensils. So I got from them what was called a New England hot dog pan. And the reason it was unusual is that you baked a whole pan of them, and then when they were done, you would cut them apart. So it was...
Oh.
I never knew about that style. So they're all connected, not... So that they would have less crust then.
Oh, okay. So...
But they were... I found them hard to then cut and freeze and... Okay, so... so that was one of those things I bought. I'll use it, but probably it's going to sit in a drawer for a long time.
What about ingredients? Are there some new ingredients, or what ingredients seem to be popular now?
I've always promoted grains, and with the cookbook I did, I had amaranth and quinoa, et cetera, in there, and that was 20-some years ago. And you realize, Larry, we've been doing this for more than 20 years.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I remember when your book first came out, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so...
And I still have your book, by the way.
So what they sometimes call super grains are getting really popular now. And there's a new one, kanawa, which is a relative of quinoa.
Oh.
It's just starting to show up. And you'll see teff in places, and now they're bringing out einkorn, which is an old wheat variety. Farro is really spelt... there's a freaky, which is a processed wheat. So there are all these, you know, in a sense, old grains, but in another sense, they're new.
Now, where do you buy them?
Well, you can get a fair number of these things at the Willie Street Co-op. Mm-hmm. King Arthur will sell some. The other place I really like to promote is Bob's, mm-hmm. Bob's Red Mill. Huge catalog of all sorts of grains, and not, you know, and many of these are gluten-free. So that's the appeal for some people, is avoiding wheat and rye, and in some degree oats and barley.
I still enjoy. There are some gluten-free things that I like, all right, but I'm...
It's a challenge. So, yes, this ulukaka is white flour. There's not a whole lot of nutrition in this. We're not getting much fiber, but it's the holidays, and so...
Well, yeah, talk a little bit more about the tradition of ulukaka.
Well, I'm not Scandinavian. I'm Polish. I've learned to make lefse. I've learned to make this, certain things. It's just analogous to the Easter breads, which there was a little bit more about spring and the new calves and the milk all of a sudden, and cream became more plentiful. This is, in a sense, the same thing, only it's in the middle of the cold. And it's pretending that we have this bounty. This bread, though, toasts wonderfully, too.
Oh, I bet. I bet it does.
and I'm putting on cultured butter here, so this is really good butter, too, from Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. Man, it tastes so good.
The cardamom from Penzies, which is a very good local spice outlet.
I love Penzies.
What can I pass on one thing about cardamom?
Yeah.
People should be aware there's black, which is used mostly in Indian cooking. But then you can get it as green or white. The green is natural. The white is the dyed. And I thought this time I would go with the green. But it was I found it harder to break open the shell. And it was much, much harder to grind up the seeds than the white, which surprised me. So I normally would not go to the processed one, but I found that's easier to deal with. I had to put this in my coffee grinder to grind up the little cardamom seeds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Marianne in Oshkosh, thanks for calling. Hi. Are you there? Whoop. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, now I can. Yes.
Yes, okay. I wanted to share with you what I knew about the hot dog buns. That's a treasure. I lived in New England for a while, and what they do is their buns are baked in a row like that. They slit them down the top, so the hot dog gets dropped down into the middle of the brown part, if you would. But before they do that, if they're a really good person, they toss the outside edges of the bun, so those two white sides that have been attached get toasted, or even better, buttered and then cooked on a grill.
Oh.
So it's really, really good. So if I were you, I would not put that pan away for a long time. I'd use it.
Thanks for the information, because a way to use more butter and to toast something, yes, that's up my alley.
Marianne, thank you so much for calling. What about you? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Lori, we're going to get to you in a few minutes. We need to take a quick look at news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we will be back to talk more about breads with Paul Novak. Stay with us. There are a lot of guests I look forward to visiting with, and Paul Novak is certainly one of the people who is close to the top of the list. Not only is he a great guy, but he also brings some wonderful baked goods with him. Larry Mueller here. Paul Novak's a baking instructor, the author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. And Paul, of course, always great to see you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. It's a nice day to come.
It's wonderful to have you with us. And we have some callers online and some questions. Give us a call. I think we have one open line yet at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. And I know you had a comment or question you wanted to make about red velvet cakes or cupcakes.
Well, I prefer to stay away from chemicals, so red food dye number whatever, food colorings, is one way people try to get the red color. Well, the traditional way was to have a chemical reaction between the cocoa and something like buttermilk, alkaline acetic. And so you'd get a dark reddish brown, but you were not getting red. Okay. It's going to taste better. And the one, and some people would put beet juice in.
Yes.
To try to get the red color. But just the one tip is if you're going to use cocoa, you'd use the Dutch cocoa, which is more alkaline. It's going to get a redder color than if you use the non-Dutch processed.
Okay.
So that it makes a little bit of difference there if you want to avoid the food dyes to get the Dutch cocoa.
We have Buzz on Facebook said, are you going to put the Ulekaka recipe here on Facebook? And we've got it. Judith, can we put that up on Facebook? We've got it. We'll put it up.
And I got it from who knows what sources. Yeah.
Yeah. So we can type it. It's not a humongous.
No. No.
So it could be just typed up. Okay, we'll put it up, and it'll have to be after the show, Buzz, and everybody else. So wait a bit, and we'll have it up for you a bit after the show. Diane in Pewaukee, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My problem is I have a convection oven, and I'm trying to bake bread, and I've always had success in the past before the convection oven. But when I put my bread in, it's all nice. I let it rise, and it's nice and high. Put it in, and I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes later, something like that, it just sinks. And I don't know if I can, you know, I have to give up baking bread.
Can't you turn off the convection aspect, the fan?
No. I called We called the factory, and it's that fan, you know, that's
Yes. Right.
And that's what's doing it, I'm sure.
People typically don't use convection ovens for baking. The fan moves the heat around, and it makes it more uniform. It's helpful for cookies and whatnot. So it would be nice if you could turn off the fan, but if you can't, you're going to just have to play with the variables in terms of maybe the temperature, changing the temperature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You might want a higher temperature because you might want to set the crust more quickly so it doesn't fall.
Oh, but sure.
With a convection oven, in any kind of a recipe that I see on packages, what have you, they always use a lower temperature than the regular conventional oven.
And
so I'm thinking maybe I should use a lower temperature.
I think it'd be just the opposite.
Know.
I would think it would be the opposite.
Okay.
But this is what bread baking is about, experimentation. Mm-hmm. So make up a batch and do it lower, and then make up another batch another day and do it higher, and in a sense, see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, all right.
All right.
What else to do?
Somebody else may be listening who bakes with a bread with a convection. So stay listening, Diana. Well, if got somebody who is doing that, they can call in and give us their advice. That'd be great. So stay listening. Number's 1-800-642-1234, by the way.
When I do a bread baking class, the ovens that I'm using are Big Wolf. They're actually not residential, but they have fans in them. And I was worried in the beginning, and it seems to be close to what I have at home. So it might also depend on the oven. You know.
Yeah, the oven could make the difference. Mary and Madison, hello. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my phone call. My grandmother used to make the Christmas bread.
Yeah, krumkaka.
Are you right. Yulekaka is the bread.
Yulekaka, right.
Krumkaka are the little
cookies.
The cookies,
yeah.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering about the citron. Do you put citron in your bread?
All I put in here were raisins. And this is
okay,
just...
Okay, because she also used citron in it. And
yeah.
I was wondering, what's a good quality citron? Because that's always a difficult thing to find.
It's just my prejudice to not go with dried fruits, et cetera. But other people are going to go that route. I don't know if Penzi's sells a dried, dried candied.
So.
Yeah. I'm sure there are places that sell them, and it's all going to be about the quality of the dried fruit in terms of how did they dry it and how sweet is it and how many chemicals did they put in it or none. I'm sure there are recipes for making your own, but I'm sure it's probably really time intensive.
I would suspect. And then
yes.
Do you use golden raisins or the brown raisins?
I just use the brown raisins, but you could use the currants or the golden or, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, you can, if you want to go that route, you can go with prunes. That's a standard thing.
I wouldn't use prunes, but it is double your, this is a delicious toasted bread.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Mary. And Mark in Spring Green. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hi, Larry. I just wanted to tell you guys, if you haven't used it yet, there's a great little flour mill right here in southwest Wisconsin in Lone Rock called Lonesome Stone Milling. And they are if you go to the website, lonesomestonemilling.com, you can see the products and you can see all the farmers that grow all the wheat. Every bag that Gilbert Williams of the mill puts out has a little story about where the products come from, the farmer that grows it. He has pictures of them all. It's all organic. It's all fresh.
Is this in the co-ops in Madison?
It's Well, it's in the co-ops. It's at Metcalf. It's at Willie
yes.
Street.
Yes, okay, so it's, I've seen it, yes.
Yes, and I know Madison Sourdough uses a lot of his flour, too. So,
wonderful.
So he's got a great story for people that want to try some really, really fresh different things, you know, anywhere from rye to different kinds of wheat flours. And he's trying different things. He's got a buckwheat mill now. So
cool. So it's lonesomestonemilling.com?
Yes.
Boy, I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks. Gilbert's a good friend of mine, and I just love to see him succeed.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. LonesomeStoneMilling.com. That's the place to go. People
think of flour as having a long shelf life, but the whole grain does not because of the oil in the germ. So less travel time, et cetera, is in a sense going to be good for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's somebody right here in Wisconsin, and not far from Madison. Anna in Brookfield, it's your turn. Hi, thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. Thank you for taking my call. Your guest mentioned Bialys earlier, and I'm just curious as to, I've been looking for them all over. Is there a place where you can purchase them already made?
Oh, good question. I've seen them available in the past, but offhand, I do not know a place.
Mm.
The cookbook I could send you to is a marvelous one, Secrets of a Jewish Baker. To me, the best cookbook there is for rye breads and bagels and Bialys, etc. They're not that complicated compared to bagels because you don't have to boil them.
So somebody, stay listening, Anna, because somebody may call in.
Oh, sure.
Okay, and you said Secrets of a what? A Jewish?
Baker.
Jewish baker. Is that typically Jewish? I thought it was Polish.
Well, in the bakeries, in a sense, Jewish bakeries, a lot of the Jews would have come from Poland or Russia or Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's
an
overlap there of all of that. I mean, bagels are not Jewish in a sense,
right.
but in another sense, they are. So,
yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Anna, for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and comments. Liz in Oshkosh. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you guys?
Okay.
Great.
I just had a suggestion of the bread baking. Perhaps you could try it in a Dutch oven. I've had good luck baking bread in a Dutch oven for the first 30 minutes, and then you can take the lid off at the end to crust up.
If you had a convection oven, you mean?
Yes, if you have a convection oven, maybe she could try putting the bread in a Dutch oven inside to maybe shield it from that fan you were talking about.
Oh.
It's a good idea. There's a Mark Bittner, who's a minimalist cook, had a recipe for almost a no-knead bread. And the technique there was to put it into I used a cast iron Dutch oven. And for 30 minutes with the cover, then without the cover. A cloche is a similar thing, a stoneware container. That's a good way to get to, in a sense, it's an oven within an oven, and you'd get away from the air movement created by the fan.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was just the recipe I was referencing. So.
Yes.
Great idea.
That'll work, sure.
Thanks for Liz. Yeah, appreciate the call. And is it Bialys, right?
Something like that, yeah. B-I-A-L-Y.
Yeah, yes. We had caller Deborah said that the Willie Street Co-op in Madison started selling fresh Bialys daily about a year ago.
Ah, okay.
So Deborah says they're great. And so I forget where our caller was calling from, but if they're in the Madison area or coming through the Madison area, the Willie Street Co-op in Madison sells them fresh daily.
And they don't have apparently a long shelf life because they're just baked. The boiling and baking means the bagels last a little longer. So having them fresh is good.
And you can join in, too. By the way, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1237. Cheryl emailed us about convection ovens. She said, I bake bread with my convection oven. I set the oven at the temperature called for in the recipe. Works perfectly every time. If you let your bread rise too high before baking, it may collapse once in the oven. So,
and it really, it shouldn't, because there's something called oven spring. A good bread, if it's not, again, risen too much, will rise a bit more in the oven initially and then set the crust. So if it gets, in a sense, if it's over-risen with a jolt, it's like analogous to a souffle, it might collapse.
That makes sense. And here's another one for on the Bialas issue. Jonathan sent us a note on Facebook. He said, I just saw them for sale at Gotham Bagels in Madison. So Gotham Bagels, I think there's one on East Washington Avenue.
It is interesting how things go in and out of vogue. You know, beignets were popular at one time, which is a New Orleans-style donut, in a sense. That's a whole nother ball of wax. Or donuts. Yeast versus baking powder, et cetera.
We have an email from Rachel. She says, I love to bake, especially cookies. I have two friends who can't eat dairy. What are some good substitutes for butter in cookies?
Well, in any recipe, you could substitute an oil, vegetable oil. It's clearly going to have it's going to be liquid as opposed to solid, so there's going to be an adjustment there. The taste is going to be different, but that's one substitution. In certain things, like, let's say, a carrot cake, where there's a lot of oil, unsweetened applesauce.
Is
a binder. You totally eliminate or have, you know, put half oil and half applesauce in, and you get the binder for the pectin in the applesauce and less calories if you care about that thing, and I should. But
Well, you're in pretty good shape yet. You're in pretty good shape. We have more questions, more emails and so forth, but you can call in, too, if you have a question. Or if you've got an experience to share about baking, I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Caller Lisa said that both Mana Cafe and Stalzi's Deli, for goodness sakes, is about a block away from my house, Mana Cafe and Stalzi's have fresh Bialas.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to go over to Stalzi's now, because I don't remember ever eating Stalzi's or ever eating Bialas. So
there were times when you couldn't have found them. So this is very nice that they're available.
I'm amazed at apparently the number of places in the Madison area. And I bet you in Milwaukee, there may be even more places that would have them. And we have we had some callers coming in, and we'll take those calls. Different kinds of flours have certainly come up. We got the all-purpose or pastry flours, and then all the different types of wheat and other grains. What are the guidelines to keep in mind when you're choosing flour?
Well, if you want a tender crumb, you're going to go with a lower gluten flour. So pastry flour is less gluten, less protein than all-purpose. Bread flour has the most. Cake flour has the least.
The least.
When you're told making pancakes to not over-stir it, you don't want to develop the gluten. Well, my suggestion is use pastry flour in your pancakes, not all-purpose. I guarantee they will taste better. And you do not have to worry about over-mixing them as much. Cake flour is really finely ground. But if you're making cupcakes and you want to go for a really fine texture, use pastry flour or maybe even cake flour and not all-purpose.
You know what? I do not use pastry flour in pancakes. I'm going to do that this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. I've just got a bag of fresh cranberries. And I like to throw a few cranberries in crunch them up and throw them in with my my pancake mix.
Yes, blueberries frozen can be thrown in, yes,
yeah,
all sorts of things.
Yeah, blueberries too, but I like cranberries.
Whenever I do a bread baking class, that's one thing I try to mention, is that soft wheat, which is used in pastry flour, actually has, to me, a better taste than hard wheat. Yeah. So everyone going for the hard, high-gluten bread flours, making French-style breads, I think it's the wrong way to go. The soft wheat is the way to go for pancakes, waffles, etc. Pie crusts.
All right. I'm going to check. I'm sure we've got some pastry flour at home.
And you can mix half and half, half pastry, half all-purpose.
Ruth in Green Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I have a suggestion for the lady who was looking for a butter substitute for cookies. I use palm shortening, which is not hydrogenated. It's a solid shortening. So it has the solid of the butter, you know, so you get the texture right. It's a pretty bland flavor. I get it at the health food store. Around here, I haven't found it recently, though, so I ordered online. But back home in Janesville, they had it at the health food store. I think it was Spectrum brand there. Palm shortening. Not palm oil, palm shortening, because it's a solid.
P-A-L-M, palm shortening.
Palm, like the palm trees.
Yeah. And coconut oil would also be solid below 76 degrees.
Yeah.
Above that.
But I find that this works really well as a butter substitute.
Okay.
They do something to it so that it stays solid, like a shortening, but it's not hydrogenated.
Okay, because you can buy palm oil and...
It's called palm shortening.
Yeah, interesting. I've not seen that, you know, that product.
Hard to find, actually. I only remember one store. It was the health food store in Janesville where we used to live that had it on the shelf. Otherwise, I've ordered it online.
Okay. And for people who want to try coconut oil, again, it's solid below a certain temperature. The refined is not going to have a coconut flavor.
Right.
So there's a difference, refined versus unrefined.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Ruth.
Right.
Palm shortening. Yeah. I will remember that as well. Appreciate it. And Cindy and Exonia, hi.
Hi. Thanks for helping me. My husband loves egg bread. When he was younger, he used to make it in a bakery, and he always talks about it. I don't know how to bake very much. So I'm just wondering if you can suggest a recipe for me where I can go and get one, if you can... I don't know the first thing about making egg bread, but I sure would like to try it for him.
You're saying egg bread?
Egg bread, yeah.
Okay. Now, that could mean different things. When people ask that they've had something at this restaurant or that bakery, what you find in a recipe may not be what you found somewhere else. So a challah bread, for example, is a rich Jewish bread with a lot of eggs in it. It's a simple white bread analogous to the ulekaka.
Mm.
It would be, you know, that would be an easy recipe to find, an easy place to
start.
What
is it again?
Challah.
Challah, H-O-L-A?
C-H-A-L-L-A-H.
Oh, that way, okay.
That way.
There you go.
But I think there are breads where you actually, it's like monkey bread, where you actually make it look like eggs.
Oh.
So, I mean, we could go that whole other route of appearance.
All right. So there's a bunch of different ways to go. I'd go online and see if you can find some pictures that your husband at least could look at. And that might be the way to narrow it down to the type of bread that he's actually looking for. Thank you very much for calling. I hope that helped a little bit, Cindy. And Paul, thank you so much. Boy, it's always a pleasure. And you've got some teaching coming up?
I've got a class coming up at METC January 14th. It's a French baguette class.
Oh, is it full yet, or can we?
I have no idea. But
go online to METC?
Yeah.
And look for your class?
Yeah, knowing the date, the 14th, and French bread, it should be
January
easy to find.
14th.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Look forward to our next visit.
We never get to all we, you know, no, all we could.
No, we never get it all. Paul Novak, baking instructor, author of A Baker's Dozen of Daily Breads and More. Great to have him along. He'll be back, and we'll look forward to his visit again. Jamie Nack and David Drake talk about Wisconsin wildlife tomorrow. Stay with us.